Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. The last time we met together, we were looking at Isaiah chapter 6. We were looking at the prophet Isaiah, a good man, a godly man, but a judgmental man. A man that never saw himself as being a man of need. He just saw everybody else around him that had tremendous needs. But then we read that his uncle, King Uzziah, died. And all of a sudden, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. We talked last time about sometimes the Lord has to take our king out of our lives, whatever it is that is the focus of our attention and the focus of our adoration. And as soon as that happened, then he recognized how sinful he truly was. And then he was out of his seat and onto his face. But we were finishing our last time by talking about the Lord saying, "Whom shall we send, and who will go for us?" And at that point, Isaiah was out of his seat and into the street. And he responded by saying, "Lord, I'll go. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do?" You know, and at that point, he saw the lost. At that point, his heart was challenged. You see, our churches are never going to be challenged for missions until, first of all, we get rid of the kings in our lives that are taking up so much time and so much attention and so much of the expense of our finances, and we're losing track of what God really had in mind for leaving us here, out of our seats and into the streets. Now notice the sequence. Sin was exposed, sin was confessed, sin was forgiven. Then Isaiah saw the need of others. And that's the way it is for you and me. We have to get rid of the mote and the beam in our own eye, and then we begin to see the needs of others. Then we volunteer to meet it, and we're called of God to meet it. Now, have you ever asked God to call you? Have you ever asked God to somehow use you in his vineyard? You remember the parable of the orange trees? Have you ever asked God to use you? You see, this is exactly what the Hebrew is saying. When Isaiah responded, "Here am I, send me," in the Hebrew it is literally, "Please, Lord, send me." Wow. "Please, Lord, send me." Are you willing to go, but planning to stay? Or planning to go, but willing to stay? You see, we need to volunteer to go. And see what God will do with that. Now, the Lord has called us to go. And in verse number 11, we see that God's word was what moved him. And God's word is what's going to move you and me as well. Out of our seats and into the streets. And only when we catch a vision of what God wants us to do with reaching the lost in the Milwaukee area will we really catch a vision of what he wants us to do around the world. Now, see, there are two philosophies about local church work. Come and see, or go and tell. Come and see. You know, a lot of people think that their ministry is just within the church walls, and it's the responsibility of the unsaved to come to church and hear the gospel. You see that a lot in churches. And so many times folks don't feel like it's their responsibility to go and tell outside the church walls. They basically have the idea if they are really interested, they can come and see. They can enter the church doors. But the other philosophy is go and tell. See, discipleship ministries within the walls of the church are only there to equip us to go and tell. Our focus has to be on them and not on us. I'll say that again. Our focus has to be on them outside the church walls and not on us inside the church walls. See, this happens to square with the Great Commission that Jesus has given us. But if we buy into the come and see philosophy, then we miss the whole mission focus of the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, for Israel, it was come and see. You remember Israel, by living in the presence and the fullness of the Lord, they were designed to experience his blessings in such a fantastic way that that would startle the nations to attention. Then the nations would come and they'd begin to ask questions, and they would be drawn to Jerusalem like a magnet. For instance, Isaiah 42, verses 9 to 11, "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Psalm 86, verses 9 and 10, "All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Did you see that? All nations shall come. And then Psalm 67, the first 7 verses, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." In other words, the idea was when they see God blessing the nation of Israel, then they will be attracted to Israel. So it was a come-and-see philosophy. This principle is demonstrated by the Queen of Sheba. Remember, she came to Jerusalem to see and to hear of Solomon's wisdom. And the Ethiopian eunuch came to Jerusalem for the same reason in the book of Acts. And this may explain a bit of Jonah's hesitancy to go to Nineveh. He thought that they should come and see God's ways in Jerusalem. Now, it even could be the reason for the hesitancy of the disciples and the apostles in the early church and why God had to send persecution to get them to go and tell. You see, in the Old Testament, it was come and see. But in the New Testament, it's go and tell. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You see, God's mission program moved from come and see to go and tell. Acts 1, 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth." So it's out of our seats and into the streets. Now, the disciples had no problem preaching on the day of Pentecost because the people had come and seen what God was doing. They had come to Jerusalem, like many times we expect the unsaved to come to church. But why did they have to go from Jerusalem? They didn't understand that. It constituted a change in methodology, not in principle or purpose, but a change in methodology. And the philosophy for our churches is the same today. Go and tell, not come and see. Now, does your philosophy on how you do church need to change to the New Testament plan? Are you constantly trying to get people to come with you to church as opposed to deciding, I'm going to leave church and go out to where people really are, where people really are hurting, where the mission field is? It's got to start here. It's got to start for you and I who know Christ as our personal Savior to simply say, Lord, forgive us. We have missed the entire point. We've been trying to get people to come into our church and hear the gospel. You have sent us out of our church for them to hear the gospel. It could be that God is speaking to your heart personally. It could be that you've got some unsaved friends and relatives, maybe coworkers or schoolmates, and you go to class with them every day. You rub shoulders with them and rub elbows in the hallways, and you play sports with them, and you go to the clubs with them, and you're involved in the band and the choir with them. And it could be that your goal has been to get them to come to church with you, maybe even come to a revival meeting. Okay, but how's it working for you? Not very well. Because you see, the New Testament mission is go and tell. Out of our seats and into the streets. And as God has been moving upon your heart today, I trust that you will very quickly say, Lord, you've been speaking to me. And I'm not going to be focusing my attention on anybody on our missions committee or anybody in our church. Lord, you've been speaking to me. And I realize that you've placed me right next to some very important people at school, right next to some very important people in my neighborhood or at work, the next cubicle, the people that I eat lunch with. Lord, you have placed me there on purpose. And Father, I've totally missed the reason that I have this job. I've missed the reason that I'm taking this class. I've missed the reason that you put us into this neighborhood. And it could be that God wants to use the month of January to not only focus your attention to missions around the world, but missions around the block, so that you can begin to say, Lord, take away the scale from my eyes. Take away the king, as you had to in Isaiah's life, and cause me to be willing to say, Lord, I need to see you high and lifted up. And whatever it is that I've been focusing my attention on, Lord, I'm going to set it aside, because I want to see you in a brand new way. And if God is speaking to your heart in that way, I trust that today, before you continue your activities this morning, that you'll take just a little bit of time, wherever you are, and just spend some time with God. Just tell him, Lord, my life needs to change. My attitude about the people around me and the places that you have positioned me, my attitude needs to change, because, Lord, you're doing a work in my life. And I can't expect you to do a work in my church until you do a work in my life. See, that's what God was trying to tell Isaiah. I can't ask you to do a work in your entire nation until I'm able to do a work in your life. Out of your seat and on your knees. Is that where you need to be? Is it out of your seat and onto your face, recognizing that there are some sins in your life that you need to be asking God for forgiveness and making some things right, maybe with even other people, so that you can then be out of your seat and into the street, that you can be impacting your world for Jesus Christ? That's why God left us here. And so I trust that our focus this month will be a blessing to you and will be a catalyst to you, to cause you to remember, God, take away my king, so that I can see you, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, high and lifted up.